Aloha shorts, yes. So, well, our contributing political analyst, Neil Milner, joins us for today's Long View. Do you have your aloha shorts on today?
You're not going to know.
Well, today we're talking about election polls.
Yes.
So what's the takeaway?
Well, here's the takeaway. I got interested in what the Pew Foundation has been writing recently. The Pew Foundation is one of the best, most reputable polls, not only in the United States, but in the world. And they do stuff occasionally about polling methods geared to, like the rest of us, not statistical stuff necessarily. And they've recently been writing about, are polls trustworthy? And they've also been writing about the new sorts of things that you can use maybe to supplement polls. The answer to the first one, are polls trustworthy? They say, yes, they are. And the reason this is an issue right now, of course, is that after 2016, lots of people said the polls were wrong, we'll dismiss them. We'll get back to that in a little while. First of all, though, Pew says the 2016 polls were actually quite good. You don't want to tell that to Hillary Clinton, but they were quite good because nationally they were almost exactly on target in terms of the percentage of the vote, popular vote that they would get.
Right, so off by 1%.
1% off. Where the polls had trouble were statewide polls that ran into two difficulties that are now being overcome, one of which is that they stopped polling too early, probably, because there turns out there was a late surge. And the surge was mainly for Trump. And the other thing is that the methods that they used overrepresented people with a higher degree of education, which were then that was a group more likely to vote for Hillary. Okay, those things can be dealt with in a methodological kind of way, and they are being dealt with in a methodological sort of way. So that and that what the Pew Foundation says is, look, you can trust the polls in regard to those kinds of things, but always keep in mind that there are two kinds of polls. There are polls that are asked to predict the results of a political race. Those are harder to do because you're asking to make predictions down the road. You're judged on the basis of, did you get it right exactly? And there are all kinds of polls that are much more dependable over time and can be measured against real live events. For example, the polls on same-sex marriage clearly showed a very remarkable change in public attitudes toward that, and you could test that alongside of the fact that, in fact, same-sex marriage laws were beginning to change even before that. There's all kinds of benchmarks. So polls are all in all pretty trustworthy. But here is the problem. In the old days, when I learned how to poll, and that's so long ago, we didn't have telephones. We had a yodel. Our questions.
Okay.
The main thing was you took a random sample, you asked the questions, you tried to get a high response rate, over 50%, let's say, and that was how it's done. Today you have two problems. One is, and they're related, one is cell phones, which are harder to tap into, and the second is very, very low response rates. So the state of the art has done something that seems to work pretty well. It's come up with ways to predict and to model and to weigh so that you can make the sample you get, you can convert it into a kind of representative sample. It's gone as far as pollsters like YouGov, where you volunteer to participate. No more of this random sample stuff. And they've been pretty accurate. They've been about as accurate as any other poll. But the new stuff, which is not so new anymore, but still new, is what we call voter data files, or what you know as big data. And that's the stuff, and then I'll stop here and let you ask me some questions. That's the stuff that Pew is interested in for one reason, and that is, can that give us a fuller picture of what the American voting public is like? Because it approaches things in a very different way. And what, as citizens, we have to understand is just exactly what this is, because it's information about you amalgamated in ways that may surprise you.
Yeah, I know the Internet is kind of scary because it can collect all kinds of data on you, and it can – well, as we saw with the headlines with what they were saying Russia was trying to do to influence the elections. And so, yeah, that's something you – makes people a little bit nervous, I think.
Well, it does make people a little bit nervous, but remember how this kind of thing works. And First of all, think of a voter file as a file. Think of it as a little manila thing that you used to put your papers in before you put them on the computer so they could get hacked. And what's in this file initially, thanks to the ease with which you can get this information because Congress passed a federal law, is information on your voting behavior, not whom you voted for, but whether you voted or not. So the file starts off with that kind of information. Are you registered and do you vote? Then through commercial things, you can buy stuff. You can buy commercial firms have ways of modeling using this kind of data and other kind of data that suggest things about partisanship. You're likely to vote for a certain candidate. So your file is getting thicker now. They now have some models that apply to you. Add to that the enormous amount of information that you can get on the web and that commercial firms will amalgamate on all of your buying preferences. I mean, if you worry, you worry about fake news, that's one kind of worry. But the fact is that there's all kinds of information on what you buy and what your preferences are and lots of other stuff. And this all gets lumped together in a big file that sophisticated political campaigns can use to determine how likely you are to vote a certain way and so on, what your preferences are.
Right. I mean, it's all just data mining.
Well, it is. It's called big data for a reason.
But you basically have to then be really careful because, I mean, it's all the stuff you like.
Well, sure. Well, but, being really careful means essentially for most people deciding they're not going to, they're not going to use Amazon anymore. They're not going to use anything where, in fact, your preferences get picked up by selling it or whatever else, and that's pretty hard to do. Now, this is really a very useful thing for political campaigns because it tells you much more than a poll. Say, like the Civil Beat poll that just came out. The poll is this kind of standard poll. It says who's winning and
who's ahead, what the margin is.
Right, but it's not a very detailed kind of poll. It's certainly like most polls. This tells you much more. What Pew is interested in and what others are, those who are nonpartisan, is to see, okay, we understand that even if polls themselves, the surveys are limited, are trustworthy, they're still limited. It's just a little portrait. And what we would like to see is the extent to which you can use voter files to make the portrait richer, to make it more detailed,
accurate. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So Pew's been doing a few tests on this, and they find out that actually what they've done is they've got a kind of very dependable file of information about stuff, and they've tested some of these big data operations against it in terms of accuracy. It doesn't do badly.
It's really kind of the psychology behind the data mining, which way you're leaning, more to the left or the right?
Well, part of it is if you think about a political campaign and you think about five guys and four women going out after having a cup of coffee at Zippy's and canvassing your neighborhood with nothing else than a list of names, that's enthusiastic but kind of a slipshod way of doing it. If people have information about particular kinds of households and particular kinds of messages that about people's tendencies, not that you know, it allows you to allocate your resources in certain ways. National political campaigns use this kind of information, for example, to try to figure out where they should advertise in certain kinds of ways. So it's pretty useful for that sort of thing. Pew is interested in something that's a little bigger. One of the things that Pew sees potential for is the question of voter turnout and who actually votes and who actually does not vote. Voter turnout is the question of who's a likely voter is a very debated one, and that's a very important one in traditional polling because you ask likely voters and you have different ways of measuring it. Turns out that the voter files in 2016 that they tested were very accurate predictors of turnout in 2016. What they weren't so good at is getting information on people who don't normally vote or who don't normally register because you start that sort of thing.
Yeah, they're kind of a blank slate.
They're sort of a blank slate or semi-blank slate. You can find out what kind of beer they like which is they do. There's alcoholic beverage preference is you know, I suppose if you put all of the above, you go into a certain kind of category.
But basically, you're saying that we're, when people volunteer to participate in the YouGov thing, you're taking an action to take part in that. But really, with this voter file, it's like they're just.
Sure.
Sucking it up.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't give them permission.
Right.
But
I'm a YouGov volunteer. Most of the time I don't do the survey. All that means is that they send me something. If I want to fill it out, I fill it out. What they know, what I've told them about myself is fairly limited, but it's enough to get them started in terms of whether they have an accurate sample. They may end up not using me or weighting my thing as much. That's different. The voter file, you're not volunteering
right.
for other than going out and buying something, you know, where you get the data. And also, it's not the same process.
Right. Okay. So we'll see how accurate Civil Beats polls are this week.
Well, yeah. Good luck on all the pollsters in Hawaii.
Absolutely. So. All right. Neil Milner is the Conversations Contributing Editor of our regular segment, The Long View. You can find links to more information about today's segment on HawaiiPublicRadio.org.